you.
We all know that women are not funny. And no one proves it better than Kay Ballard, the accidental lawyer who is the accidental host of our show. Of course, every accident that Kay Ballard encounters is intentional. And now her intention is to accidentally disprove the show's premise. So sit back and enjoy a fun conversation that matters between Kay and today's fabulous featured guest. Welcome to Women Are Not Funny Radio.
Well, hello, this is Kay Ballard, and I want to welcome you to Women Are Not Funny Radio. Perhaps you are like me. Today, whenever that is for you, you could really use a good laugh. And today it might actually happen, because today's guest is Cher Bailey, a comedy writer from America's heartland. Now, Cher is very funny, and I've known this for a long time, but the other night I was reading her blog in preparation for this show, and I sat there in the middle of my living room in the middle of the night, and I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed. You know, I came up with a brand new original phrase for it, LOL, laugh out loud. Well, that was just a spontaneous reaction on my part, and Cher is someone who is known for her spontaneous humor. Now, I told her that Women Are Not Funny attempts to be a mother-friendly show, because let's face it, many of us do have mothers. And as producer of the show, with a guest as spontaneous as Cher is inclined to be, I may be in the danger zone. Well, here's what we're going to do today. You know me as an ambitious entrepreneurial woman, and I thought it might be fun if today, live, you could listen to me as I try to do business with Cher. I'm going to make her a business deal live on the radio. We're also going to be talking, after we get business done, we're going to be talking about the Awesome Pretties, because this is the Awesome Pretty Special Edition. And there's a reason for that, and I'll tell you why. And then, finally, Cher has agreed to teach me, and teach you, teach all of us, how to get a man to propose to us at Sears. And I think that's just a real good deal because, why not? So, Cher, before we can start our conversation, before we can do business, I have to find out, are you here as a stepping stone to something better?
Well, I can't answer that because I'm focused on the fact that you just told everybody that I'm spontaneous, which I think is code for she's going to say the F-bomb. Are you nervous? Are you feeling antsy?
I am totally nervous, and I already have, you know, I have a crew of writers, a writing staff, who is writing the apology to my mother if you let one slip. Cher, you know, get a handle on it.
Do that to me. You can't tell me that I can't swear. What am I going to say?
No, darling, I can tell you you can't swear. I just can't keep you from swearing. You know, there is a difference. So
okay.
I have to know this. Are you here kind of as an audition to take over my show?
Well, how much money's in it?
You are ready to do business, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, you do know that I'm a devoted entrepreneur. I mean, it's what makes my life worthwhile. And I'm a big believer in at least trying to monetize your life. You may be familiar with the fact that I took my own divorce and monetized it in the form of a comedy CD, KK's Divorce. And I was thinking that possibly, since my company is in the business of helping people produce CDs, among other things, we do a lot of things here, but that's one thing we do. do you think I could interest you in doing your own comedy divorce CD?
Who the hell would listen? Who would ever buy it? Who would ever buy it?
Oh, darling, think big. This is what I was thinking. You know, you're big on divorce, and this could be a box set. Think about it. It could be the world's first box set of divorce CDs. I don't think it's been done before.
I don't think it's been done either. There may be a reason for that. I don't know.
Cher, aren't you optimistic? How about this?
No, I'm not optimistic. I thought you said you read my blog. I'm not optimistic about any damn thing.
Well, but Cher, listen. The comedy divorce CDs. If you don't like the idea of the box set, can we do a subscription? Kind of like those Time Life, you know. We could have volume one through whatever.
Right. I prefer Roman numerals. Yeah, I like that.
I do too. They're classy looking, aren't they?
They are. They are. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, in my own case with KK's divorce, if I'm going to do a KK's divorce too, I'm going to need a husband to get more material.
Right, right. It's handy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's just hard. You can't, you know, you can't really recycle a divorce, and this is the only one I have. But I look to you for a lot of things. One thing that just impresses me like crazy. We were both brought up in the Southern Baptist Church, and so we have a lot of similar experiences. I mean, if I were to say to you, bringing in the sheaves, you're among the few people who would know what I was saying, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but here is what I am dying to know about. Apparently, you have gone and gotten yourself ordained, and you are a minister yourself.
Well, hell yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm a minister, not in the Southern Baptist faith, however, because as you know, women are allowed to cook and have babies in the Southern Baptist faith. So, no.
They're gracious about that, aren't they? Wouldn't you agree they're gracious to let women do that, cook and have babies?
Yeah, so long as we don't say anything out loud anywhere, anyhow, anytime, yeah, if we're in the kitchen, that's all right. Yeah, I am an ordained minister. I do marry people occasionally. I first counsel them prior to marrying them because who better? Mm. And I always try and talk them out of it. I feel like that's kind of my duty. But if they insist on doing it, I'll do it. I'll marry them. I have a really, really awesome track record in that only one of the couples I married are still together. So I do really well at getting people started down that divorce road.
Well, you know, the way I became aware that you were an ordained minister is I saw photos of you officiating at the wedding of friends of ours, April and Terry Simpson. And I did.
Okay, I should take that back. Theirs doesn't count because I actually, you know, I wanted them to stay married. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't. They're still married. So that's good. I love Doc and April very much. Yeah, that was quite an honor for me.
Well, you know, I just wonder about it because you've had kind of an interesting spring and summer in that respect because you officiated at least that one wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a baby, and you know, you feel like you have some sort of I don't know, psychic attachment to that baby. And then your daughter had a baby, and you actually even admit to being a grandmother. So you had all of these kind of touchy things happen, and you also got a divorce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So wasn't there a lot of emotional upheaval with all this?
No. This is not my first time at the rodeo. I love to get divorces. They're my favorite. I look forward to them from the moment I say, yes, I will marry you, I start getting really excited about the divorce, like, you know, Santa's coming. So that's not emotional. I'm totally fine with that. I do have a grandbaby. I'm really excited about that. I wasn't expecting to be that chick who was all excited over being a grandma, but I actually really dig it. I love it. So,
well, I am, you know, haven't had that experience. I speculate, and probably this is the reason it surprised you that you did get into it. It's kind of like turning Japanese. You know that song, Turning Japanese? You just turn into a grandmother, and it's just kind of mystical like that.
Are you sure? Well, it wasn't a song about something like, I don't know, touching yourself. I don't remember. What was that song about, Turning Japanese? Wasn't it about something hinky and kinky?
Darling, the concept. We just go with the concept of turning Japanese. That's plenty.
Okay.
But I will never be a grandmother, and let me tell you why. When my daughter reached a certain age, I realized that I was much too young to be the mother of someone that age. So I promoted her to my sister. And so I no longer have a daughter, and if she should have a child, that child will be my nephew. So I'll be an aunt, is the way it works in our family.
Holy hell.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty convenient. So here's the thing I really want to know. I get it. You look forward to the divorces. Apparently, a person can get really good at divorce.
I did. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. Yeah.
That's what they all say. But now that you are an ordained minister, can you officiate at your own wedding?
Oh, that's an awesome question. And how spectacular would that be? I should try that at the next one, just to see if I can.
Well, I mean, you know, wouldn't it be really kind of convenient? Because, I mean, who better?
Right.
You know,
I know.
Than to ask those questions. And it's just convenient. You could do it anytime, anywhere. And apparently something else that you can do anytime, anywhere is be proposed to, because you have the – now, see, Cher, there's so many things I like about you, and there are even some things I love about you, but you are a generous woman to tell people, to tell other women how to get a man to propose to you at Sears. I mean, how – some women would just hold on to that knowledge and not share it, but not you. You tell everyone.
Well, my pet peeve is women who say, I can't find a man that'll marry me. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's not hard. I could be married again in 2 weeks if I wanted to. Now, what we're focusing on here is the quantity, not the quality. So the goal is to get married as often as you can, and because you're just going to turn around and get a divorce. We don't much care about the quality. So there are tons of men that will marry you. And, yeah, you can get a man to marry you in Sears or Subway or Walmart or anywhere else. It all has to do with the weird sex acts you perform in the elevator or back behind the, you know, screwdriver display.
Well, one of the things, and people who want real specific instruction, and really I feel like we're just giving this away, but that's what you do. You know, the Internet is all about moving the free line and free information. Cher actually has a video on YouTube that explains it in great detail, how you get a man to propose to you in Sears. So anyone who wants to take her up on that information can go to YouTube and find out for themselves. But, you make just excellent points there. And clearly, even though I know a lot about men, I have to be humble and say, you have me topped on this one. But I do know this. Yes, men do love it when you say torque. They do.
They do.
What is that?
I don't know. I think it's something that, like, Asian women are able to do that we're just maybe learning about in our country. I don't know what torque is. Mm-hmm. But they get really excited at that word. I'm sure I misuse it. I'm positive I do.
It doesn't really matter. I don't think they care whether you know what it means, just as long as you say it. They just like torque. They like the thought of it. But, you know, I liked where you were headed a moment ago, because that's another business proposition that I have for you. Don't you think it would be it kind of puts me in mind of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books or the Dummies books. Couldn't we work together and I could help you produce books and how-to videos? So how to get a man to propose to you in the produce aisle, and how to get a man to propose to you at Banana Republic. And that's kind of what I'd be looking for, that one. How to get a man to propose to you on the golf course. I mean, it could be a real cool series. And just to kind of raise the stakes and make it more attractive to you, since you do like doing this, you could do original research, you know, for each of the what do you think, Cher?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I'm really good at the divorce thing. That's kind of my strong suit. And yeah, you do have to get married to get a divorce. I just think a divorce is so much more fun. It's just so much more fun.
But get married?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Well, I'm not prepared to testify to that, but the thing that, you know, I think the thing that is cool about this series, besides the fact that it could be a runaway bestseller, you know, we could both get rich on it, is what I'm thinking. But the thing about divorce is it sometimes inspires dating, you know? I mean, if you are truly looking for that next husband, sometimes dating is required. How do you feel about that?
You know what? Here's the sad news. I love men. I love being around men. I love everything about them, except staying married to them for longer than a couple weeks at a time. But I just have no ambition to date. None. And I have found in my training and experience as an ex-wife, you don't necessarily have to date. Men, you know, lots of them want to get married right off the bat, immediately. So you don't have to eat a cheeseburger at Wendy's with them more than maybe once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, but maybe at the wedding reception.
Maybe. You could have your first meal together, yeah.
I have for a long time thought, and in fact, when I was married, my ex-husband, fake Tom Brokaw, and I discussed on occasion how cool it might be if there were sort of like fast divorce, drive-through divorce places where you just drive through and you get a divorce in the drive-through window, and you know, it's just really convenient. So if you were out and you were having kind of a disagreement and you thought, well, he's making me really angry and he feels the same way, you could just pull over into the drive-thru, go through, get your divorce, and go on down the road. And then, you know, you bring in all kinds of aspects of convenience. You're talking about skipping the dating. I mean, maybe there could be a parking lot somewhere where you could just both hop out of the car, hop in some other car, and go through another drive-thru. Or if you are an ordained minister, you just officiate your own marriage. What do you think?
Hey, you know, the quicker the better. I like to have a nice, fast turnover.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps things hopping. So that might not be a bad idea at all.
Don't you think it really fits in with kind of the whole way our world is moving really quickly and change happens very suddenly and things change rapidly and things change daily? I mean, this is really kind of a modern way to do it, and add a high-tech element, you know, like perhaps.
Maybe we should get like an iPhone app, a divorce app.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be spectacular.
It would be, but, share. In fairness, let's not leave the Android users out. Let's do an iPhone app and an Android app, divorce apps. And then, apparently, could you, as an ordained minister, could you officiate at, could we have kind of a marriage app, too, where you just do it?
I'm pretty sure when I was ordained, that meant I was allowed to do anything, anyhow, anywhere, anytime that I wanted to do, no matter what. I'm almost positive I can probably even walk on water. So I'm sure I can. I can do anything I want.
Well, you know what? I am a lawyer, and I endorse that. I think anything that – I think it would be legal. Yeah, sure. So we ought to put that together, Cher, you know. Do you have 10 minutes after the show?
Is that all we need to put together, a divorce app?
Well, we're trying to do things on, you know, on the fly. And so I think that would work. Now, see, I don't have the same feeling about dating that you do. I mean, I think it's abhorrent, but it doesn't mean I don't want to do it, you know. And but I think one reason that I like dating better than you do, and we've discussed this, is that you don't, but I do like younger men. You have no use for them.
I don't have an interest in younger men. I like to look at them from a distance, but I don't want them standing next to me. I don't want to be crawled up in bed with somebody and have them looking better than I do. I just can't. That can't happen. No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 46 years old, for Christ's sake. There's stuff happening that no 23-year-old boy should ever see, ever.
Well, I will take your word up for it. You know, I'm not going to.
We can Skype later if you don't want to take my word for it. I can make sure
I'm
happening.
I am totally willing to take you at your word on that, but I just wonder, Cher. Modern technology to the rescue. Have you not heard of low-watt light bulbs?
Low light bulbs? Honey, that is not. When I release the hounds, low light is not going to help anything. No. They can still feel around in there. I don't want their little six-pack body with you know, all their 23-year-old ness next to my 46-year-old ness. I don't want it. I don't have any interest. On the other hand, I don't want to date a man that's 72, which apparently is what Match.com thinks I'm completely after. Have you done Match? Honey, have you ever tried Match?
You know what? I haven't, but I did. Now, this is just going to sound so clueless, but I swear to you it's the truth. I was in an online dating thing, and I got there accidentally. You know, I didn't sign up for it. I don't know how it happened.
What, you just fell into it?
I don't know.
One of my ex-husbands tried that with one of his girlfriends. Apparently he thought you could just fall into somebody's vagina. I'm not buying it. How did you get onto a dating site?
No. All I'm just telling you that I found myself a member. You know, I just did, and I didn't sign up. And so I would get these things in my inbox, you know, these people who wanted to go out with me, and I would go, what? Who, you know, and it was all very strange. And I have to tell you that I found it, I'm if I were serious about doing that, I would do it, okay? I mean, I don't feel a stigma against that at all. I think it's very efficient. You know, I do. Because one of the things I noticed is these people tell you everything about themselves. So it's easy to, it's very, very, talk about efficiency. You just go, no, 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 you know. And so you
don't.
Okay,
first of all, the ones that came anywhere near me, which either speaks to what I look like and my profile, or it speaks to what is out there trolling around on Match in my age group. Tell me everything? My God, they couldn't spell. They had no idea what punctuation was. And their profile pictures, it should be criminal. Absolutely. In fact, I'm positive they were. One man actually put a profile pic up of himself standing in a cemetery at a funeral. I'm assuming that the funeral was probably for his ex-wife. And I'm not making that up. He really did. Some other guys, like, oh, you know, all of them are like, I like to fish, hunt, bowl. All of them. All of them. Mm-hmm. None of them ever said, you know, I like to read. If they did say they like to read, then it was Sports Illustrated. It was horrible. Horrible. Terrible.
Oh, Cher. Well, I think you ought to revisit the idea of dating younger guys. And before you protest, you know, I have a little bit of evidence that you might be interested. For one thing, I know that there somewhere in your hometown, there is a cart boy that you have the hots for.
I do. He's a little dim-witted, a little slow. One of his eyes goes in one direction, the other goes in the other direction. And it isn't that I have the hots for him. He's humpable. And if I just cover his face, you know, he'll have no idea what even happened to him. And I will have taken care of whatever, you know, things need to be taken care of.
Well, the other thing that makes me think that you might be a little more enthusiastic than you're admitting is that when we were trying to decide what band we were going to feature today, you told me that one of your favorites is Teenage Fan Club.
I did.
Goodness. My goodness. But, you know, they are on tour, and they're a Scottish group, very cool Scottish group.
Yeah, I know.
They're on tour in the U.S., and apparently you're going to be seeing them soon.
Yeah.
But their management firm is a large one, and I must have contacted the wrong guy because, you know, typically when bands find out that they're going to be featured on Women Are Not Funny Radio, I mean, they're just amazed and delighted, and they cannot respond quickly enough. But do I ever
Did
have
you
a
tell
scene?
Them that I was absolutely willing to sleep with each and every member of Teenage Fan Club and their management? Did you tell them that, Kay?
Unfortunately, I did, and that may have killed the deal. But what I have today instead, what I have today instead, is something great. It's actually a song by our friend Paula Kelly, and it is the song that's featured on KK's Divorce. And the reason I think it's perfect, it's certainly my song, and it might just become yours because it's called I'd Fall in Love with Anyone.
that you
Chair, that was written by my friend Paula Kelly and performed by her, and I hope you loved it because we both were much younger when it started playing.
You know what? It's amazing how much Paula sounds just like Lee Nash from Sixpence None the Richer, doesn't she?
You know what? I'm not familiar with her, but if she sounds like Paula, she is a fortunate woman indeed. Paula wrote that song and recorded it about 7 years ago, and that was before I knew her. But we are both convinced that she actually wrote that song and recorded it for me. It's one of those mystic things. But anyway, it fits with it, doesn't it fit kind of with your point of view? And, you know, we have so much in common. I got to thinking about it. We're both blonde. We're both beautiful. We're both divorced. We're both insomniacs. We're both a certain age. And we both love to say things that make people think we're smart, you know, if we can think of them.
Yeah, it doesn't happen with me that often. And I'm, you know, I may be like you in several ways. I would not categorize myself as beautiful, and I no longer have blonde hair.
Oh, really?
Really. I went dark a couple weeks ago. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's really amazing. And you see, the thing about it is, I was beginning to think that perhaps you were copying me, but apparently you don't have sense enough to do that.
No, I don't. Listen, my hair, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like the leaves outside on the trees. It changes, ever changing. You never know. Never know.
Oh, well, I am surprised. See, we have standards around here, and, you know, our production assistant Faith Goh, who will be transcribing this conversation, so I have to give her a shout out. She is certainly what I was thinking is that perhaps you wanted to be like me, so you would go to law school too, you know, because Faith is in law school, and she's certainly awesome and pretty and in law school, and you're awesome and pretty and, as far as I know, not in law school, but maybe since you already have a profession and that's ordained minister, maybe there's no need.
Yeah, you can't be both. Can't be both.
Well, here, you know, I call this the special awesome pretty edition, and it is because our guest today, and that would be you, Cher, is awesome and pretty. And one of the things that impressed me is that the first time you happened onto the Women Are Not Funny site, you saw the opportunity to sign up as an awesome pretty, and you knew that was for you. I mean, you just went for it because, of course, it was rather obvious. And it just surprises me that more of our listeners haven't signed up to be an awesome pretty. I mean, it does. It is the honor system, but here's what worries me, and see what you think of this. Kind of scares the hell out of me because I'm afraid it means that we have homely listeners. You know, that they don't sign up. They don't sign up because they're not awesome and they're not pretty. What do you think about
that?
Oh
my goodness, what do you think it is about your show that attracts unattractive human beings?
Wouldn't that be a horrible thing?
Yeah, it's kind of bad. Yeah.
And you know, it's also interesting that some of my guests, when they are guests on the show, we get kind of a spike in members of the Awesome Pretties, and then some, you know, seem to attract a more homely audience, and it's just, you know, there really should be a study. This is really kind of probably the next era in social media observation, just to kind of figure these things out. Now, we have a recent member of the Awesome Pretties, and when she found out, when I told her, and she is a great gal, her name's Dana Frost, obviously awesome and pretty, and she was just appalled to hear that people who listen to the show are hesitant to sign up. And she said, her statement was, see, what do you think about this? Get out of the shadows.
Ah, well, but if your assumption is right, that they're all, you know, horribly disfigured and unattractive, the shadows is right where they belong.
They probably should stay in the shadows, shouldn't they?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, one of the things I wondered is maybe what is really kind of needed is beauty tips, you know, for listeners, you know, to kind of help them qualify.
Oh, for God's sake, all you got to do to look better, slap on some false eyelashes. I like to use a Sharpie for eyeliner, you know, stuff like that. Make your hair ginormous.
Darling, those are tips. Those are absolute tips.
Yeah.
But you know, I was prepared, since you were going to tell us how to get a man to propose to you at Sears, I was going to tell you how to trim your bangs, because you said that you were terrified that you might trim your own bangs. And I thought, well, I can help her out there.
That's because I've done it. It's not a good result. Okay. Not pretty.
Yeah, but Cher, what if I could help you with this? What if I could tell you, you know, what to do? Kind of the same way you reinforce the whole idea that the way to get a man to propose to you in Sears is to say the word torque. What if I could give you a little hint?
Bring
that
it.
That would, okay. Here's what I think. Now, it's possible that you already know this, but maybe not. If you're going to cut your own bangs, and you, Cher, first, would you just kind of admit that my bangs are gorgeous?
I
don't know if you noticed.
I'll go ahead and say it. Yeah, I have bang envy. Yeah.
Okay. Most people do. I would say the reason my bangs look so great is dedicated scissors. I have a great pair of scissors. Darling, it means you buy a pair of scissors, a great pair of scissors, and they are only for cutting bangs. That's all they can cut. You don't use them for anything else. You don't cut paper. You don't cut cloth. You only cut bangs. That's all you use them for.
Can I cut chicken?
No, don't cut chicken. Do not. They are dedicated scissors.
What
they
about the things that stick on my Yorkie's ass sometimes when he's out in the yard?
No.
And I
no.
Can I cut that?
No,
with my bangs.
Do you not understand the concept of dedicated scissors? Dedicated scissors. I mean, you know, you don't have to listen, but I suggest you do. That is the thing. So So you're not copying me. I'm a little disappointed.
That I'm not copying?
Yeah. I mean, if you lost the blonde hair, I just thought, you know, I looked at you and I thought, it's kind of a...
Well, how do your boobs look? How do your boobs look?
Well, that's a subject, quite frankly, of great speculation, you know. And I kind of dealt with that in my divorce CD.
I'm saying maybe I'm copying the fact that your boobs look good. Maybe that's what I'm copying.
Well,
I may be 110 years old, and I may have been married more times than you can even imagine, but my boobs look really good.
Yeah. Well, I have, you know, I think that is, what can I say? I've seen evidence of that. You know, I'm not going to take it any further than that, but I have seen evidence in that. You know, the thing is, you might actually be copying me even if you lost the blonde hair, because I noticed that you have on your website, just there for everyone to see, you have a life list. You don't call it a bucket list. You have things that you want to do during your life that you haven't done yet. And I've done a lot of them. What do you think about
really?
That? Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Well, you know, then what else is there for me to do? But one of them that you had listed, I was kind of surprised, but it actually is one of the most fun things that I've done ever in my life, and I've talked about it on this show before, and that is I went dog sledding with an Iditarod dog team. And, that ever cool. That was so great. And it was this is how great it was. I was in Anchorage. I had a speaking engagement there, and my daughter met me there, and, oh, my God, Alaska was so beautiful. Didn't expect it quite. I don't know why, but, you know, it wasn't on the short list of places I wanted to go. But I was hired to do a luncheon speech there, and we stayed a few days, and we were invited to a big gala banquet on April 1st in Alaska. There is something called freshly fallen snow on April 1st, and I fell and broke my ankle, but I didn't know it was broken. No, I knew it hurt, but we had, made arrangements the following day to go dog sledding. And so I'm so glad I didn't know I broke my ankle, you know, because I would have missed the opportunity to do that. Did it hurt? Yes, it hurt. But I just thought I had a bunged up ankle. I didn't know it's broken. And that was so much fun. My goodness. So I would say definitely do that. Then you have all this New Orleans stuff that you want to do.
Oh, I want to go to New Orleans. Just, I can't even tell you. I want to go. Yeah, that's where I belong. I need to go. Yeah.
That is, see, and I have not been since Katrina. But pre-Katrina, that was the most fun place ever. You know, I mean, it just truly was. There's so much to do with music and food and just cool stuff. So I think you should do that right away. In fact, after we finish our conversation, I'd say just pack a bag and go.
I'm packing a bag and going to Chicago tomorrow. Remember, Teenage Fan Club? Got to go see the boys.
That is going. Yeah, that will be fabulous. I know. So, what are you? You know, are you warming up a little bit? The whole idea of having a box set of divorce CDs. Do you think we're going to be able to pull that one off?
I don't think so, Kay. It would be like being picked last for the volleyball team if I had all these CDs and, you know, nobody would buy them. I don't even have relatives who would buy them out of pity. My father's just mortified. He's always afraid I'm going to say a bad word. And nobody would ever buy them. They would just sit there and judge me. They would just silently judge me.
Yeah. Well, then it doesn't sound like that would be such a good deal for my company to produce them, you know.
No, would not be your smartest business decision.
Darling, let me ask you this. Could you, because I don't let go easily, could you consider having more entertaining divorces in the future? You know, just with the idea.
I can certainly try. I can certainly try. For UK, I will give it my shot.
Here's what I've got to know. And this almost falls into the category of research, which we'd like to do because, as I said earlier, we both like to say things that make people think we're smart, right?
Well, you're an attorney, so that's easy for you.
Well, you know, I don't know. The thing, I think research sounds better. So we could finish our conversation and then the rest of the evening, probably, you know, for the next 6 months, say, well, we were doing some research about this, you know, and that just sounds, you know, it not only sounds smart, it sounds noble. It sounds like you care about the future. And I do. What I want to know is, what happens? When does a little girl growing up in North Carolina discover that she's funny?
Oh, wow, that came out of nowhere. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure I've discovered it yet. I just always have liked funny people. I like to laugh, and I've always been that way. I like it.
Well, one way that you are not copying me is you're not modest in the same way that I am. You know, I'm known for being modest, but you are a little more, what shall we say, authentically modest. Because, dear, my goodness, you know you're funny, and you always have been, but I want to know, at what point in your young life did you figure it out?
Gosh, I don't know. I was around people who liked to laugh. My grandparents thought it was funny when I did and said things that everybody else was thinking, and so I continued to do that to make them laugh. So I don't know at what point I decided or knew or thought I was funny. That's not. You know, I'm not sure I've ever summed myself up that way. I just like to laugh. I like to be around people that like to laugh.
Well, at the same time, now let's not be disingenuous. You do have an email address, Humor Writer.
Yes.
So at least you know. And you write brilliantly on your blog.
Thank you.
And it is called?
Wiping the Crazy Off My Face.
Which is a crazy name.
You think so?
I do.
My writing is my attempt at humor, but more than anything, it's my own therapy. That's what it is. It's my own therapy.
Yeah. Well, I think writing the crazy off my face immediately signals anyone who might happen on it that it is a humor blog, and it is very much your life, but it's told in such a very funny way and reminiscent of comedy writers that we have always loved, just because you're very pithy, you get to the heart of it, and even people who are not having your life experience, I think, can very much relate to the humor that you lay out there, and including poking fun at yourself and your father for the way that he relates to the way you write. That is, you know, it was interesting to me because he does read your stuff, you know. So you, on some level, you know he loves it because he does actually read it.
No, he doesn't love it. I got in trouble just the other day because he told me I needed to stop using short words, that you don't have to use short words to be funny. I said, Pop, what's a short word? Your grandmother never used short words. How would you have felt if your grandmother had used short words? I'm like, Pop, what's a short word? And then he says, you go back and read your Facebook status and you read your blogs and you'll know what a short word is. I said, I'm almost 50. I don't have time to research this. What's a short word? I had written F'N. And He found that entirely disappointing. Completely.
Well, let me say this. It is a strange and wondrous world when someone who is 46 is stalked on Facebook by her father.
I know. It's not right. It's not right. How do you unfriend your father? You know what? You don't. You suck it up. And you've got to make posts about Jesus or something. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I felt like I was going to get grounded. My father hates the way I write. Hates the way I write.
I'm sorry. I just cannot stop laughing. I'm just thinking, you know, that while you're in Chicago, probably you're going to have too much fun to sit in a dark theater. But really, very soon, you ought to go see the Zuckerberg movie and hurl popcorn at him at the screen or something.
I know, right?
Because who would invent such a creature? I am not a fan of Facebook. I'm totally not a fan of Facebook. But I would really not be a fan of Facebook if, you know, my father, who I adore, were.
How can I talk about my boobs with my father watching? How can I do that? And I want to do that. Don't kid yourself. I want to talk about them, and I can't because my pop's watching. And, you know, he says to me, well, I really, that article you wrote, that made me chuckle a little bit, but it's not true. Never happened. I'm like, it did too happen. No, you get carried away. It never happened. He's my biggest critic. I told him, and I swear this is true, Kay, if I won, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize, and God forbid my father should get it a mic or something when I'm accepting my award, he would say, my daughter got drunk on moonshine when she was 15 and threw up in the ditch. Thank you very much. He could care less. I'll never do anything that makes him happy or proud ever.
I am sorry. I refuse to believe that. I'm reading between the lines, and I'm saying the reason he follows you on Facebook is he is proud. Otherwise, he just wouldn't.
No, he's looking for a reason and a way to ground me. That's what he's doing. He's not proud. He wants to punish me.
Well, you know, darling, I like that. That's kind of a, don't you think that's kind of a staying young trick, you know? It's kind of like being carded or something. I got grounded.
Having your father constantly belittle you and tell you how you don't meet his expectations. No, I don't.
No, you are not looking at the bright side of all of this.
What's the bright side?
You know, I mean, for me, being fake is really a lot of fun and very worthwhile. So, you know, I changed physicians recently, and my physician, in addition to, she's a pediatrician, so, you know, I can say things like, well, I have to go see my pediatrician, and it just makes me sound really young. And then if I were to be able to say, my father grounded me for what I wrote on Facebook, I mean, my goodness, think about that. That's just like a, that's better than plastic surgery, don't you think?
I don't know. It gets a little old. It gets a little old that I got to explain myself to Pop, you know, but all right.
Well, you know, one thing that might help, and I don't know, is your dad motivated by money at all?
No, he's Southern Baptist. No, they're not allowed to be motivated by money. Or
but darling, don't they need coins? Don't they need coins to put into the offering plate?
Yes, they do need some ching ching for that. Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking we could let him partner up with us on these this box set or subscription of divorce CDs.
That would never happen. Oh, my God. The fact that I repeatedly marry and divorce, and the fact that I say to him that I'm not done, that I've got at least 8 or 10 left in me before I kick the bucket, he's mortified. No. Mm-hmm. He would literally have to move to Mexico. He would.
Our listeners have heard your side of the story, and they've heard my read on it. I think they probably agree with me because that's their job. You know, I am the host of the show, and I see pride there. I see pride. There are people whose parents don't even notice them. Your father notices that you've been married, you know,
yeah,
multiple times.
Yeah, he notices.
He does. does. He absolutely does, and that's really cool. And I hope that you never lose your enthusiasm for divorce. That would be a terrible thing. And I just adore you, Cher, and I have one final request to make of you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever wipe the crazy off your face.
Aw, well, thank you, Poodle. It was lovely to have talked with you.
You have been listening to Women Are Not Funny Radio, a New Media International production. On behalf of Kay Ballard, her fabulous guest, and the secretly hilarious Women Are Not Funny team, thanks for being here. You can listen to our replays anytime you please, but it's so much more fun when you're here. So join us again live next Friday afternoon for Women Are Not Funny Radio.